Random cradled the watch in her hands, slowly turning it to let the long light of the evening sun shine warmly in the scratches and scuffs of the thick glass. It fascinated her watching the spidery little second hand ticking its way round. Every time it completed a full circle, the longer of the two main hands had moved on exactly to the next of the 60 small divisions round the dial. And when the long hand had made its own full circle, the smaller hand had moved on to the next of the main digits. "You've been watching it for over an hour," said Arthur quietly. "I know," she said. "An hour is when the big hand has gone all the way round, yes?" "That's right." "Then I've been watching it for an hour and 17 minutes? She smiled with a deep and mysterious pleasure, and moved very slightly so that she was resting just a little against his arm. Arthur felt that a small sigh escaped from him that had been pent up inside his chest for weeks. He wanted to put his arm around his daughter's shoulders, but felt it was too early yet and that she would shy away from him. But something was working, something was easing inside her. The watch meant something to her that nothing in her life so far had managed to do. Arthur was not sure that he had really understood what it was yet, but he was profoundly pleased and relieved that something had reached her. "Explain to me again," said Random. "There's nothing really to it," said Arthur. "Clockwork was something that developed over hundreds of years." "Earth years," said Random. "Yes. It became finer and finer and more intricate. It was highly skilled and delicate work. It had to be made very small and had to carry on working accurately however much you waved it around or dropped it." "But only on one planet," said Random. "Well, that was where it was made, you see," said Arthur. "It was never expected to go anywhere else and deal with different suns and moons and magnetic fields and things. I mean, the thing still goes perfectly well, but it doesn't really mean much this far from Switzerland."
"From where?"
"Switzerland, that's where these things were made. Small, hilly country, tiresomely neat. The people who made them didn't really know there were other worlds."
"Quite a big thing not to know," said Random.
"Well, yes," said Arthur.
"So where did they come from?"
"Well, they, that is, we, just sort of grew there. We evolved on the Earth," said Arthur, "from, I don't know, some kind of sludge or something."
"Like this watch," said Random.
"I don't think the watch grew out of sludge," said Arthur. "You don't understand!" Random suddenly leapt to her feet, shouting, "You don't understand! You don't understand me! You don't understand anything! I hate you for being so stupid!" She started to run hectically down the hill, still clutching the watch and shouting that she hated him. Arthur jumped up, startled and at a loss. He started to run down after her through the stringy and clumpy grass. It was hard and painful for him. When he had broken his leg in the crash, it had not been a clean break, and it had not healed cleanly. He was stumbling and wincing as he ran. Suddenly she turned and faced him, her face dark with anger. She brandished a watch at him. "You don't understand that there's somewhere this belongs? Somewhere it works? Somewhere that it fits?" She turned and ran again. She was fit and fleet-footed, and Arthur could not remotely keep up with her. It wasn't that he had not expected being a father to be this difficult, it was that he hadn't expected to be a father at all, particularly not suddenly and unexpectedly, on an alien planet. Random turned to shout at him again. For some reason he stopped each time she did. "Who do you think I am?" she demanded angrily. "Your upgrade? Who do you think Mum thought I was? Some sort of ticket to the life she didn't have?"
"I don't know what you mean by that," said Arthur, panting and hurting.
"You don't know what anybody means by anything!"
"What do you mean?"
"Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!"
"Tell me, please tell me," said Arthur. "What do you mean by saying the life she didn't have?"
"She wished she'd stayed on Earth. She wished she hadn't gone off with that stupid brain-dead fruit gum Zaphod. She thinks she would have had a different life."
"But," said Arthur, "she would have been killed. She would have been killed when the world was destroyed."
"Well, that's a different life, isn't it?"
"Well, that's...
She wouldn't have had to have me. She hates me."
You can't mean that. How could anyone possibly,
I mean, she had me because I was meant to make things fit for her. That was my job. But I fitted even worse than she did. So she just shut me off and carried on with her stupid life."
"What's stupid about her life?" insisted Arthur. "She's fantastically successful, isn't she? She's all over time and space, all over the sub-ether TV networks."
"Stupid! Stupid! Stupid! Stupid!"
Random turned and ran off again. Arthur couldn't keep up with her, and at last he had to sit down for a bit and let the pain in his leg subside. The turmoil in his head he didn't know what to do with at all. End of side 5.